You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
The Christian Andreacchio case was prematurely closed by authorities, but many questions remain. Come behind the curtain and follow private investigator Sheila Wysocki as she uncovers the truth about what happened to Christian. This is Without Warning.
This bonus episode is two parts. Today, part one will be the first half of the leaked meeting, and Thursday will be the second half of the leaked meeting from July 1st. The following people were in that meeting: Cassie Coleman, the current district attorney; Benny DeBose, the police chief; Jay Arrington, captain of investigations; Gypsy Ward, investigator at the AG office; Tony Green, Investigations Public Integrity Director; Richie McAllister, Chief Administrative Officer. To give a little background, Mark Gillespie and I left Jay Arrington's office and ran into Cassie, Gypsy, and Tony in the hallway. They were headed to a meeting about Christian. We had just left a meeting with Jay Arrington when he said he did not have the case file. I asked Cassie Coleman if she had the case file. I have the recording of her response. Why we met with Jay Arrington is because Mark Gillespie had spoken to Jay earlier. No one had seen the case file except the authorities. I have the recording of the conversation between Jay Arrington and Mark Gillespie, which will be played at another date. What is important about that conversation was Jay Arrington told Mark he would be happy to sit down with him and go over the case file. He said he would open up everything to Mark. So, of course, Mark set a date for a meeting, and that was July 1st. I'm going to take you through the recording and give you behind-the-scenes information as you listen to the words that Cassie Coleman, Benny DeBose, Jay Arrington, Gypsy Ward, Tony Green, and Richie McAllister say about Christian.
The folks that just left, were you meeting with them, or y'all both meeting with them?
I did.
Remember in the last episode where Benny DeBose was discussed and said to be a people pleaser?
Who were they?
They came in here. Chief was sitting in the office. I asked him, was it okay to talk to him?
He invited Mark to sit down and go over the file. The meeting was set up prior to July 1st and confirmed three times.
I'm assuming that is another batch of private investigators.
Texas. I detect a little animosity towards private investigator. Side note, most police officers retire and become private investigators, or some mall cops.
In Texas, yeah.
So they just showed up unannounced?
They came today. I told the chief they was coming. I asked him, was it okay to speak to them? And I spoke to them, and I listened to what they had to say.
Jay Arrington must be intimidated by Cassie Coleman, because that is not true. But he isn't going to stand up to her.
And her name was Sheila?
So many listeners have reached out about this line.
Sheila. Is that what she said? Mm-hmm. Sheila.
Wonder if she knows my name now.
But so have they already looked at the case? I couldn't tell if he was saying we're
they come over. They come over. They're saying they got this new evidence.
Jay Arrington is flat out lying. He obviously doesn't want to tell Cassie the truth that he invited Mark Gillespie to go over the file. Mark Gillespie never once said we had new evidence. The audio between Mark Gillespie and Jay Arrington will be played in another episode, and I'll probably break it down as well, like this one.
I don't know what it is.
They got new evidence?
That's what they say.
No.
But I've heard all this before. and they was wanting to look at the case file, and I told them we don't have that case anymore, that the AG's office has the case.
Pay attention to this. Jay Arrington is flat out lying, like I said. But what's interesting is he's telling Cassie this. The audio's going to come out with him inviting Mark to see the file. What I want you to pay attention to is how they all just pull things out of the air. This is exactly what the Andreacchios have been dealing with.
They won't see the physical file. I told them I couldn't show it to them anyway without the chief's approval. So I don't know exactly what they were trying to accomplish, but, you know, the Andreacchios, they've hired more private investigators than any case I've ever heard of.
The Andreacchios have hired experts because the city of Meridian did not do their job.
Well, and that's what I was trying to figure out, if they were just somebody that came to offer assistance or if they were hired by the Andreacchios. I couldn't really tell what the...
Well, they're saying they're offering assistance, but I do know that I got an email a good while back from the Andreacchios saying they hired a private investigator out of Texas.
Okay.
That's supposed to have all this new evidence. They didn't show it a while ago. So I just, you know, I'm sure they'll be contacting y'all because they want to talk to whoever's got the case file, and I just told them what the case file was. But I listened to everything they had to say, but I hadn't seen the new evidence part yet. They didn't show me.
Well,
nothing.
That's what I was trying to figure out. He kind of hemmed around. I couldn't figure out if he was saying like,
I keep hearing the Andreacchios.
Will we uncover it, or we already have it?
Well, they're saying they already have it, but they don't say what it is they already have.
It is so hard for me to listen to Jay Arrington. That is such a self-serving statement. No wonder the Andreacchio case is a disaster.
But this deal about the Andreacchio, give me some new evidence. I don't know what evidence they're talking about. They didn't give me anything.
Well, and I guess that's why I called the chief, and I don't know if you told the chief that you would come by it.
I did.
That same day, so it was kind of ironic. But what, and my only conversations have been with Todd. I told you that the other day. And Chief, I know you and I talked in passing about it, that when they were trying to set up that meeting, I think both of y'all were there back,
yeah.
Like started in November, which ended up meeting in December.
Mm-hmm.
And long story short with me, he called and I asked him, instead of setting up separate meetings, could I just attend y'all's? And he said he would ask and he'd call me back. And he never did. And then I get a letter from Ray by certified mail that essentially says, oh, he didn't show up. And the chief said, if you wanted to be here, you'd have been here. So the chief and I talked later. And that's kind of, that was the it until they called wanting the DNA tested. They keep saying there's some DNA that the crime lab has that had not been tested.
Where is that coming from?
According to them, the crime lab told them that there was something there and that their lab couldn't, the crime lab had tested everything it could test, but that they had contracted with a lab that said they could do testing, I guess that's more detailed. And I told them, I can't release that, but I'll make contact with AG's office. But that's kind of been it.
They did mention something about sending something to another lab.
I think that's when Brad too had it, wasn't it?
Yeah, with it, I saw it in here on the crime lab stuff. It said, let's see.
But that, Chief, led to, I offered and said, I will be happy to contact AG's office.
Right.
You know, I'll ask them. I mean, you need to understand what it's going to be worth if you pay for it and the crime lab can't do it.
This case is closed. The attorney general's office isn't paying for anything.
That's going to be the first time I'm out there on the gun. On the gun? Yeah. That's crime lab stuff is in there.
Well, of course, now, what DNA are they looking for on the gun? Because it's a gun that belonged to Andreacchio, he left it at the apartment for Whitley, and early in the evening he's supposed to be holding it to his head and Swearinger took it away from him, so there's...
And my understanding is I think that is why the attorney at the AG's office said, we're not going to pay for it, and it's really no good if you pay for it.
This case is closed. Ray has asked to have the gun sent to a lab for testing. Ray will pay for it to be tested, keeping the chain of custody intact.
Like if you send it to a lab, you're still paying for the results. But my understanding, and I haven't spoken directly to the AG that's handled it, and they're sitting here and they can answer it, but their point was kind of, even if it comes back, but it's Whitley, or if it's
I pass my gun all the way around the room and we send it off for DNA, and y'all's DNA comes back on it.
I don't disagree.
The gun has blood on it, not just DNA from sweat or touching it. Come on, guys.
Yeah. I got an answer for that. The reason that we did not do that is because we contacted the crime lab and they put it in writing that if they test this sample, it will be completely destroyed forever. There's no getting it back because it's so small. And our thinking was, okay, let's not do that just in case something comes out later.
That you might that we want might it or compare
yes.
it or... But that conversation with them led to Ms. Andracchio sending the AG's office an email saying, I don't know if you know, but there's a new DA in town. She wants the DNA sent off. She wants the file boxed up and sent back to her. But she says in her email to them that she brought, that they, the Andracchios, brought me new evidence. That prompted me to call Mr. Andracchio and say, hold up. And I have that phone conversation recorded. And Jay, you and I talked about it the other day, but when I confronted him about that, if you've never even met me, you sure haven't brought anything to me, he says that he brought it to Dubose and Arrington.
I brought Dubose, but he didn't bring it to Arrington.
You were sitting here together when Nick met with us, so you had to see it if you gave it to me.
I ain't seen no evidence.
I have gotten every letter they sent is certified, but I stopped over them, to be honest with you. I don't even know them anymore. They would say things that you supposedly said that you, what the hell, where was I when I said that?
Right. Absolutely. I understand. Well, and I guess, so at the time, I recorded the conversation. I remember listening, to make sure it recorded, and then didn't really have anything else to do with it. They then started saying, we set up this meeting, she didn't show up, she's refused to meet with the family, which prompted me to break out my little recorder and go back and listen to it. And in that conversation, and that's why I called you last week, it dawned on me, they're saying they took new evidence to the police department. I should probably make an inquiry about what that was. And if you tell me none, that's okay. I just didn't want to say none. And, you and I, like I said, we had kind of talked in passing that it was more of the same. I think you said at some point they even mentioned that they thought maybe somebody else was involved, that it wasn't even these two anymore. But I had never just point blank asked the question, what did they bring you? What evidence did they bring? And I do feel like, Chief, that they're calling whatever it is new evidence, because when I first spoke with Todd, I said, it's been presented to a grand jury. The standard practice across the state and the country is, either new evidence or some evidence that we had but we didn't present it. That's the standard for representing it to the grand jury. But I do think that across the board, they have tried to play everybody against one another.
They do.
But I also understand, and y'all understand, it was not handled properly in the beginning. And if I were them...
This is what you're dealing with, a DA beating the new evidence drum once again. No one is buying there isn't new evidence because we know there is. You don't even need new evidence to open up this case. The old evidence should open up the case. That statement may go on the record as the dumbest statement, but Cassie Coleman keeps saying it.
We all agree.
Again, Benny DuBose agrees with whoever is speaking.
Right. I'd be suspect. I'd be suspicious. I don't blame them for feeling like the system has failed them. I just think that at some point you have to trust that other people have looked into it, people that have no connection to Meridian have looked into it. And I'm not going to turn anybody away that wants to bring something forward. And all that prompts to say, after you and I talked, Jay showed up and said that he did feel like that there was sufficient evidence on a theory to bring it forward. And I just want us all to be on the same page.
The page where you don't blow the whistle on corruption and I keep my job?
I don't want to say y'all don't have any new evidence and then all of a sudden, well, she never asked us, or yes, we do, or we're working on it. You know, yeah, we're actively working it. We've opened it back up.
I don't have any new evidence. I didn't get to present anything on what I had to start with. Bilbo made a decision to send it to the AG's office, which that's Bilbo's decision. I never got to present the case, what I thought happened. So that's that.
The AG's office, the Attorney General's office, the Attorney General's office took over the case, and they had Gypsy Ward present. We'll talk more about the presentation and Gypsy Ward in another episode.
And I guess part of it, yes, Bilbo ultimately made the decision to request the AG's assistance, but it's like I told you last week, and you said you didn't know this. I mean, the family requested that Bilbo recuse himself. And I think at that point, he doesn't really have an option if he pushes forward, knowing that he believes that the evidence points to
The family asked for him to recuse himself or recuse me?
Him. They asked that he recuse himself. Now, I'm certain that part of that request was that they also wanted the AG's office to look into the questions they felt like hadn't been answered. But I don't know, Jay, what conversations you would have with them. I mean, that's the problem, I don't know.
Well, if they made the request for Bilbo to recuse himself and they made the request for the AG's office to look at it, they did, they have, they did get an indictment, then they need to be ready to live with the results because they requested it go to the AG's office.
Well, I don't necessarily disagree.
Now Richie McAllister speaks up. He is the CAO and the one who said he's going to piss on a kid's memory. A real peach of a guy.
Jay presented, if I'm not mistaken, manslaughter, culpable negligence. And they said no, they won't murder.
That's right. They said they wouldn't accept anything.
The Androgyne.
The Androgyne said they wouldn't accept anything except murder.
What is interesting, the family doesn't have a say. This room of collaborators at least need to understand the law. Even in Mississippi, the family doesn't dictate what someone is charged with. It is up to the authorities. What a ridiculous statement. The next exchange is interesting.
When the warrants were issued for the culpable negligence manslaughter, how did they become withdrawn? Like, what?
It was murder, wasn't it?
It was a murder warrant that was originally issued because with Bilbo, you got to shoot high and let him roll it back to manslaughter. If you shoot with manslaughter, Bilbo will roll it down to whatever.
Okay, so you've actually issued and had warrants signed both for murder and culpable negligence?
I was going to do murder and let him roll it back to manslaughter, and after talking with him, I had it recalled on murder and then left the one for manslaughter by culpable negligence.
Okay, so you have issued both and had both
recalled. I issued one, had it recalled, and I issued the other one. I don't know if the other one ever was recalled or not.
The murder one was.
No, I'm talking about manslaughter. It wasn't.
Okay.
That's the one that showed you.
That was the manslaughter, though, right?
Correct. We never saw a warrant for murder.
It had done been recalled and done away with before that warrant.
But you still have a copy of it.
I don't know if I have a copy or not. I thought it was still in the case file.
Okay.
Yeah, there's not one in that one for murder. It's just tampering.
So that comes back to, do you still have a case file in this?
No.
I mean,
I don't.
Okay.
We don't have a case file on this case.
They got it.
Okay, y'all got it. When he says y'all with the DA or the AG?
They're with the AG's office.
Okay. Y'all some stadies.
AG's office. I give everything I had to Gypsy.
The one that Robbie refused to sign initially and then came back and signed later, what was that, the murder or the manslaughter?
It was murder. He signed the manslaughter.
Okay, so then there wasn't an actual warrant issued for murder.
Never did get issued.
All right.
But for somehow everything I did in Drucky, I was knew about it before I even, you know.
So Robbie never signed a murder warrant?
He signed it, but he recalled it. I never did enter it as active.
He signed the culpable and the tampering.
Right. Manslaughter by culpable negligence and the...
But that's what I'm saying. You're saying both, and maybe I'm not asking the question clearly. Did Robbie Jones or any judge sign a warrant for murder?
He did, but he recalled it before I issued it or did anything with it.
Okay, so how did it come about that he was recalled?
Isn't that when we met with Amanda in here, and she said that you did not have enough?
Didn't have enough of that, that other charge fitted. That's what fitted manslaughter by culpable negligence.
So you went back and asked Robbie to withdraw it and then took him a culpable negligence, basically, to substitute?
Mm-hmm.
And
tampering with the crime scene.
And then I know you said something about, there was a question about the tampering because of the statute of limitations.
According to what they told me at the DA's office, the statute of limitations had already ran out on it.
Okay, so when you're saying at the DA's office, you're talking to Bilbo directly.
I rarely ever talk to Bilbo directly. I always talk to somebody that worked for him over there. That's what I was told, that the statue had ran out.
So do you know who you talked to?
Normally when I talk to anybody at the DA's office up till you got there, you either talk to the one that just retired or Lou.
Flip.
George Hayes or Lou.
Okay.
Rarely you talk to any of them. You talk through them.
And then how does the warrant for the culpable negligence manslaughter get withdrawn?
It's not withdrawn, is it?
I know one got withdrawn. I
murder warrant. The manslaughter warrant's still in the file, isn't it?
But is it actively right now you could go arrest somebody on it?
If I entered it into the computer, it's signed, I could arrest somebody on it.
So if the question is asked to you, why didn't you enter it into the computer, what is the answer?
Because it was going to the grand jury without arrest. I had the warrant in there to show the charge that, and it was close enough to grand jury time. I believe what was decided at that time, talking to the DA's office, just present it without arrest. I had the warrant. They didn't want me to serve it. They wanted me to present it without making an arrest.
They being Bilbo.
Bilbo.
Because the AG's office has a culpable negligence warrant that says either rescinded or withdrawn. And it looks like it says per DA, but it could be, there's definitely a D. I can't really make out what the second letter is.
I'd have to look at it.
But I just didn't know if that, like, would you have gone back to Robbie and said, I talked to the DA's office and they said, just wait, or?
No, I don't remember doing that, but like I said, I'd have to look at the case file.
Okay, and that's what I'm asking. So you turned every physical piece of evidence you had over to the AG's office?
Right, I don't have anything.
Okay, but you can still print off like what?
I can print what's on the computer.
Okay, did you print me a copy of that? You and I talked about that Friday. Just a full copy of what you have in your system?
I haven't, but I will.
Okay.
I just made it back to work.
That's all the emails associated when we work search and Dropio.
Just from your email server?
Right, so that's all everything in the server. And then anything when we search what came in from the parents, whoever they were, they're not in order yet.
Okay. And I guess that's my concern. I mean, I understand. I'm not here to defend nor attack Bilbo. I understand that Jay and...
Would you let Mercy Londa know that the Drucchio case needed a copy made for the DA?
And I get that. But that's not my battle to fight. And he's gone.
Copy the Drucchio case for the
district attorney. What I'm trying to do is make sure... that.
Yes, please.
If there's something out there that hasn't been looked into, that it's looked into, that
I don't have it. Whatever's on the computer, you know, printed out.
Y'all aren't looking into it, it was in a file, not in a file. I mean, there's not a murder warrant in the file.
Thank you.
You know, the Androchios come to us. They came to me initially and asked if we would consider reopening the case. We did that. But then I guess if we didn't move fast enough, or they didn't get the results they wanted, it was never presented. So they asked that the case be given to the AG's office, which we did at that point. We washed our hands of the case.
It went to NBI after y'all.
It went to NBI before I got back.
Yes, it did.
But then when you came back, that's when you put Brad 2 back on it.
Right.
That's when you're saying reopen it. Reopen it was assigning Brad 2.
Now, NBI had said something about the bullets bouncing around the wall.
When you go through those emails, though, it sounds like some evidence never got here and was sent directly to NBI.
It was something about
bloody T-shirts and some other stuff.
That is what they claim. And I think that there may even be an NBI report that acknowledges receiving it but not being able to locate it. I don't quote me on that, but there's a possibility that
they did say that NBI was not going to release it.
Heard or read that. Was it, NBI doesn't typically... release their reports. I mean, like, when you get an MBI report, you know, on that cover sheet, it says, this is property of MBI, it's loaned to you. And I know that at some point, Bilbo signed an order agreeing to get a copy, and I think that MBI actually fought it just because that was their policy, that, one, we weren't given notice. You know, we weren't asked if we were consenting to that. And two, that's just our policy that we don't release them. Now, I don't know now that it's closed, if they would have a different answer, I don't know.
I thought the Andropio said that the MBI would not even release the evidence that they had.
It's in there. Bloody, they told Brad too, they sent it off to MBI.
But I think it's Brad too's report that says that MBI now can't find it.
My question is, so we have some stuff here, correct? We got our case file. The city's, or has it been turned over to AG?
But that's what I'm saying. The only thing that you would have is something you printed from your system. Is that correct?
I hadn't printed anything. I got them printing it out for you.
But I'm saying, other than what you would have to go in and print that's stored digitally, stored in the computer, there is no other physical evidence here. Nothing.
Not that I know.
And when they...
Does Brad too still have the gun and all and evidence back there?
That I don't know. It might still be at the crime lab. I don't know.
Okay. Brad too was doing something with the gun, some of the physical evidence. I don't have any. I don't know what Brad too's got.
Test on dropping it.
Yeah, because I know he said for you just take whatever evidence he's got and just give it back to him and be done with it. But I don't have anything, but you'd have to talk with Brad too to see what he may have.
Well, I mean, could we just check the inventory and the evidence room?
You can. I'll be glad to go back there and see.
I was going to let this pass, but I just can't re-listening to that last exchange. Stop and rewind and listen to the way Cassie Coleman asks for Arrington to check the evidence room. I am not a fan of a professional female, talking in that whiny baby voice.
What are we trying to do here?
Well, it's just stuff like that. Like, I don't want to say you have no physical evidence, and then it come up that the gun is back there. I mean,
you're talking about print out a sheet of all evidence that's here in the building on the Andruccio case. I need to get it.
What I'm hearing from this conversation is Cassie Coleman wants to know, one, about the case file. Two, what evidence they have in the police station. Three, case evidence do they have on their computers and information, emails about the Andreacchios and Christian.
I mean, what I'm trying to do, I guess, is gain an understanding of what has happened and then where we're at. I mean, and again, just from y'all's meeting with them back in November, both of you were saying they brought nothing with them. In other words, they didn't bring...
Unless it was something they did verbally and they considered it evidence, but we didn't.
Well, and I understand that completely, but I mean, they didn't come in and say, here's a video, here's a confession, here's a statement. They just came in and kind of were asking. I mean, when they came back in November and talked to y'all, was it with the request that you take it back from the AG's office?
No, not that I recall, because I don't think the AG had it then, did they?
No.
Yeah, they did. Because I don't think they want the AG, y'all even to be there when we met.
They did, you know, because after y'all met, you and I talked, and I said, I think that the best thing is for all of us to get in the same room.
Right.
And they told you no, they told me no. She even sent me a certified letter saying, we will not come to the same table with them.
What was the Andreacchio's presence on not wanting the AG to be in the same room as MPD?
They didn't get the answer. My answer to that question is they didn't get the results they wanted.
So the Andreacchios also went to MBI as well?
That was initially who they went to.
So, my understanding, and I don't even know that you would have been here. You wouldn't have been back yet. So MPD works that they're not satisfied with the responses they're getting from Wilburn and Jay. You would have been down. I mean, you would have been here for all of this, but this is my understanding. They then asked the former chief to allow MBI to come in.
Right.
And he refuses.
And Buck sends it because he leaves and Buck sends it.
Well, and Buck says that's not even true. He says that, I guess, MBI just came in, because I think what happened is she reached out to NBI and to the AG's office, the U.S. Attorney's office, and so they then offer, and maybe by then either Buck's willing to allow it and the former chief wouldn't. I mean, I don't have any of that in writing, but NBI then looks at it, and they submit a report, and then before that report is finalized, I guess they've come back to you, and then Brad Tew is looking at it. And Jay, I don't know if you were after Brad Tew or before Brad Tew.
After Brad Tew.
NBI had finished theirs when we reopened.
Right, they didn't feel like NBI's report was that it was a suicide. Yeah. Then Brad Tew picks it back up, and then I guess after that is when you got into it, Jay.
Brad Tew and the Andrakios could not communicate with each other. That's when they wasn't satisfied with Brad Tew's work either.
And then they sent an email to Bilbo accusing both Bilbo and Brad Tew of covering for somebody. And it's that I think finally prompts Bilbo to say, okay, to the AG's office. And then I don't know, Jay, if you were working simultaneously, like at the time that they were getting it. I don't know the timeline on.
I had to get the case file. You go from when Meridian PD first worked it. For some reason, we opened the doors to Stubbs' brother that was running the gun store out there, and Johnson DeBoer used to be a patrolman here.
That actually was the family hired then.
Well, they was allowed access to everything in the police department, so that was Sharp or somebody just opened the doors of this place to them.
What do you mean access?
Anything we had.
Like to look at it or to take it?
I don't know what they took or what they didn't. I know they had free run of the station. They could come down there like they were detectives for the police department. That was a biblical screw-up if I've ever seen one. And then they hired this woman lawyer, Speetgen or something, over in Madison, and her retired MPD guy who sold the Andrakios on it was an absolute shoot 'em on the ground murder case. And I went all the way over there to try to talk to them, and all they wanted to know was what I had. That wasn't much. The Andrakios have caused themselves more harm in this case by polluting it with, like this one they just left here. I don't know who these people are. I know he's supposed to be some PI out of Texas. I don't know what game he's running.
The game that Jay Arrington doesn't seem to understand isn't a game. It's somebody's son. And what Mark cares about is the integrity of an investigation, something that I don't hear one single person in that room talking about.
But anyway, it went from the PD to all these PIs. Then it went to Brad Tew, and then it went to me, and I thought it was a pretty good case of manslaughter by culpable negligence. But at the same time, I'm over to the judge's office. Robbie's got Bilbo on speakerphone, and he tells Robbie, I'm just making the facts up of the case as I go. That's when I was done with Bilbo. And next thing I know, then it goes to the AG's office.
All right, so that I've never heard that before. So you're saying that you personally heard Bilbo talking to Robbie and...
Standing in Robbie Jones' office right in front of his desk on speakerphone.
And when was that?
Just before he punted it off to them.
Okay.
He told me about that one.
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
Ask Robbie.
Well, I'm asking you. That's what I'm just saying. You're being confrontational.
Okay, let's stop for a moment. Anyone think that was confrontational? Anyone? I am not a fan of a female doing that to control the situation. Remember, we asked for this audio and were denied. Cassie speaks these words, but does she really believe them herself? The audio is altered, as you know. The question is why. We all know she will never be able to prosecute this case due to her husband's brokering a deal to get Whitley and Cassie on the record. We know that Cassie and Whitley's uncle Frankie have a very cozy relationship where he is guided to ask for case files and given. We know the AG office released autopsy pictures of Christian when the United States Supreme Court ruled it's a violation of Christian's rights. But hey, in Meridian, law and order don't matter. Power and corruption are the prevailing law. You have a choice and a voice. Be the voice for Christian, because it can be your family next. Thank you for listening to this bonus episode. Part 2 will be dropped on Thursday. If this audio scared you at all, wait till you hear Thursday's audio.
Christian's family gives their full permission for any and all details to be shared in hope that the truth will come out. If you know anything at all, call 1-888-599-0008 or email tips@SheilaWysocki.com. Without warning, Executive Director, Executive Producer, and Host, Sheila Wysocki, and Announcer, Tim Evans.
I will continue the conversation with bonus episodes on my Patreon page, Without Warning. Please go to withoutwarningpodcast.com and buy a t-shirt and show your support to Christian Andriacchio.